I'm going to be praying and putting some blessings on people today for the various aspects of motherhood, to the mothers themselves, to the children, to those who have lost their mothers, to those that don't have the right relationship with their mothers, etc. Any part of our lives that touches motherhood, we're going to put a blessing and prayer on it today. Praise God. We have single mothers as well. You know, we have all of the roles that the mothers play in our lives. And when we have godly mothers, my goodness, that's even twice the blessing. And even the motherly instinct, whether they are godly or not, generally speaking, is the motherly instinct that will protect, you know, and do everything they can, you know, for the children. What makes a woman a mother is her children. And, scripture says, well, can a woman forget a suckling child, you know, and so forth. It's hard. Well, you know, some of the wicked ones may forget, but you know, that's not to be even named in the household of faith. And God is using even that to tell us how his own motherly instincts, that's right, as a hen hovers over her children. You know, there are many her chicks. There are many scriptures like that that bring out the motherly side of God. Mothers are so, so special. And I want to say a few things for mothers today that, you know, some things that, you know, our mothers are well deserving. First of all, congratulations to all the people that still have mothers. You know, I don't have a mother anymore. My wife doesn't have a mother anymore. In fact, my wife and I, we kid around and say, well, you are an orphan. Because our parents are gone, you know. But they're only gone in the sense that they are not physically, but never gone from our lives. You know, I often refer to all the things that my dad and my mom, you know, did and said to me when I was young. I mean, those things stay with you forever. But those of you that still have your parents with you, how blessed you are, especially your mothers. Praise God. So we're going to be celebrating. You know, I just want to put a blessing and a prayer out for all mothers today. But let me tell you a few things about, you know, what mothers, you know, have had to go through in the scriptures. I'll just tell you a few of them. There's many stories in the Bible. You just have to read them and see what, you know, these mothers had to put up with sometimes. The very first mother that the scripture calls the mother of all living, her name was Eve. Do you know all the things that she had to put through? When people think of Eve, she had to go through and put up with. When people think of Eve today, what is the first thing that comes to mind? They think, well, Eve was deceived by, you know, the serpent and so on. So all this is trouble we have. That's the thing that people think about. But they don't think of the grief that this woman had to put up with. This woman, she was the first to lose her son by the hand of another son, you know, and this was something that she had to put up with. And, you can read that story for yourself, you know, in Genesis, you know, chapter 4, you know, what happened, Cain and Abel. And, you know, let's look at the sorrow of Eve's heart, which people don't think about at all. Usually, you know, when we talk about Eve and so forth, you know, and all the people that are in the scriptures, we know Eve, she was the first, you know, to begin, you know, to have, you know, this kind of sorrow, you know, that she would lose a child. I mean, how in the world would you lose a child, especially at the hand of another child. I mean, that is really something, you know. So let's read the last couple of verses in chapter 4. I'm not going to read all of the chapter, but you can read it on your own. You probably already know the story very well anyway. Adam knew his wife again. She bare a son and called his name Seth. This was after Abel had been killed. For God, said she, now let's see, here's the sorrow of her heart, which people don't ever think about. We only think of Eve as the one that screwed up. Well, we don't know, we never think of what she had to put up with, you know. And she said, God had appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. I mean, right there, you can see the sorrow that was in her heart that she had to put up with that. My goodness. I mean, how in the world does anybody have to put up with that? It's bad enough that your son should die, but yet be killed by the other son. My goodness. And then, you know, the son had to be cast out and all of that. I mean, it was just, there's a lot of sorrow that she had to put up with, you know. And till this day, you know, people still blame her for all kinds of things that she did. But, well, there was a lot of things that she had to put up with. Yeah, I'm going to tell you the sorrowful side of, you know, some of the things that women had to put up with, and the blessed side as well. You know, so, you know, that was a, you know, woman, you know, of sorrows, you know, so to speak. She had to put up with that. And there's other people that had to put up with all kinds of things. You know, there's a story in the early chapters of, you know, the book of Exodus, you know, when the children of Israel, you know, began to multiply and so forth in Egypt. And the Egyptians decided that they're going to kill all the children, especially this, you know, kill all the male children. Because they didn't want them to continue to multiply. Well, it's like, well, if there's no males, then you cannot, you know, you can't have children. So kill all of them, he said, you know. And there was a woman called, I read her name in the names of, in the history books. I'm looking for a scripture here that gives her name, but I can't find it readily. But anyway, she was the mother of Moses, and she had to give him up. Many women lost their children, you know, and he said, you know, there was crying. And Jeremiah, you know, later would talk about many things like that, both in the past and in the future. Talk about crying, you know, in Ramah, there's weeping and so forth, you know. Now, this woman, all the others, there was a lot of weeping that day. I mean, in all those days, I mean, I think it probably lasted more than a day, maybe weeks, maybe months, that they were searching every house, looking for the children. Any male child had to be killed. Can you imagine what those women had to go through? You know, a woman that bare a son in her womb for 9 months, you know, gave suck to the child for many months, sometimes years. And now all of a sudden the child's yanked from her and killed in her presence. You know what they had to put up with? And Moses' mom had to give away, I mean, her son. Well, actually, at first she didn't know she was giving away. She just had to take a risk, you know, like, look, I'm going to lose this son anyway. He's going to be killed anyway. So maybe he will be saved, maybe, or maybe not, but he's not going to be any worse off. If they find him here, they're going to kill him anyway. So she makes a little ark with the help of his sister, and they wrap this you know, small boy in this thing and put him on River Nile. My goodness. And, I mean, how in the world do you do that? But she did it because she wanted to save that child. And she, you know, in her mind, she was losing that child. And although, you know, somehow by a miracle of God, the wisdom of the sister, you know, she came back to nurse the child, but she wasn't allowed, you know, to tell the child that she was the mother of the child. Can you imagine the pain and the sorrow? And she had to eventually give him up. And this boy grew up thinking he was an Egyptian. And the mother, looking at him, could not really, you know, talk to him like she would have wanted to talk to him, because, you know, of all the covenant and the instructions, you know, of, you know, the Pharaoh's daughter and so forth, you know. So Pharaoh's daughter, you know, became Moses' son, I mean, Moses' mom, and called him Moses, actually, because she said, I drew him out of the water, or out of the river, you know. So, I mean, things that people had to put up with. I mean, fast forward, you know, many, many women that had to see their sons, their children suffer. You know, let's fast forward. There's many more stories, but I don't want to tell too many because I want to really pray. But we'll fast forward to even Mary. You know, the things that Mary had to put up with. There were many things, you know, that they didn't understand. I mean, she didn't understand, you know, about this young boy, you know. And at one time, for 3 days, they couldn't find him. And finally, when they found him, I mean, she talking to him, and she said, what are you talking about? You know, I got to do my father's business. I mean, in her mind, the things that she had to put up with, she never understood this young boy. But she kept these things in her heart, you know, her heart somehow. And then there was one time, you know, I think they probably, I don't know what they were thinking. They were thinking that, you know, probably thinking that, you know, this boy is losing his mind, because, you know, Bible said that his mother and his brethren, they came looking for him to call him. They said, call him, you know, because he's there healing the sick, doing all these things and just casting out devils and so on. And they say, well, your mother and your brethren are outside calling for you. And he looked around. And he said, well, who's my mother? I mean, she had to put up with that. Who's my mother? And who's my, you know, who are my brethren? You know, so they look around and so forth. You know, well, these are my mother and these are my brethren. And these are the things that Mary had to put up with. Did you ever think about those things? You know, and I mean, even though the Bible says that she, you know, the little boy went home and was subject to them in all things. But there are times he would make statements like that, that would put a dagger into the woman's heart. You just make statements like, look, I need to be about my father's business. You know, who's my mother? Point to someone else, you know, other than his mom. You know, and she had to put up with all these things. And on top of that, she had to put up with seeing her son crucified. Right there. I mean, not just crucified, all the things that he went through from, you know, all the time, the hours of his passion and so forth. And she was right, and she could do anything about it. Even though she knew something was coming, you know, how this my son. But did you ever think it was easy for her to just go through all of that, you know, and then have to see her son crucified in front of her? You know, it's a lot of things that, you know, women had to go through. And, you know, that's some of their sufferings, you know, and, you know, but sometimes it's also the good parts too that we need to bring out. and there are more sufferings as well. I mean, Anna, she suffered quite a lot. The first couple of chapters of 1 Samuel. When she eventually had that child, she had to give him up again. You know, these are some of the things, so tough things. Well, she did it because she made a promise. She made a promise to the Lord. And, you know, I want to begin to talk about, you know, some of the good aspects of some of these women that have been so virtuous in the scriptures. I mean, Hannah was one of them. She made a promise to the Lord. And even though it hurt badly, she did it anyway. If you give me this son, I'm going to give him back to you, she said, all the days of his life. And when the Lord did that, she promptly did it. Just like she said, after she had weaned the child didn't need to suck anymore. She promptly packed his things and took him to the house of the Lord and gave him up to be an altar boy to the priest there. And, I mean, can you imagine that? You know, what she had to do that. And, you know, sometimes women, the things that they've had to do around their children, you know, what Moses' mother had to do to protect the life of that child, you know, what Mary had to do to run away all the way to Egypt to protect the life of that child, you know, with Joseph and so forth. You know, Anna had to give away, you know, the son. I mean, people had to see all kinds of things, you know, and sometimes the women struggle with things too in the scriptures. You know, we've seen that, you know, we've seen where, you know, the, you know, Rebecca, you know, she had, twins. And when she had the twins, well, you know, Isaac loved the one and she preferred the other. And there was this thing that she had to deal with. And she, you know, she had to grow. I mean, she had to see when the boys were growing up, the bitterness, the rivalry between the two of them. And she contributed to that too. You know, it's not all the time that they all did, you know, everything that was right. You know, it's just sometimes they contributed to some of the problems. You know, she loved the one over the other and, you know, taught her son deception, you know, but God had a hand in it somehow. She didn't know that, you know, the Lord was going to use that, but, you know, she favored one child over the other. That was not a good thing. Of course, that thing fed into the enmity, you know, between, you know, Esau and Jacob and so on. And, you know, all through their lives, you know, the, you know, even there's a time that, you know, some mother about to have a child, and they know that, you know, they're in distress, you know, because of the child, but they just pray, you know, and in their heart, you know, let me just die that this, this child may leave. You know, we've seen that, you know, in some cases. We see Rachel, we see others, you know, they just want to bring forth that child anyhow, even if they die doing it. And then we go and talk about, you know, I mean, all of the great things, the little things here and there, you know, that the mothers have done in the scriptures, you know, how they take care of their children. You know, there are stories in this Bible that are, you know, that are untold, but there are blessings. I mean, there's a little boy in the scriptures that gave his sack lunch up for, you know, Jesus when they wanted to feed the disciples. But guess what? There was a mother that packed that sack lunch. We talk about the little boy all the time, you know, and this is again, you know, some of the things that women sometimes, they don't get the credit they deserve. You know, but here today, we're going to give them the credit. We're going to give them the prayers. I'm going to give them the blessings. I mean, there was a woman that did that, you know, and, you know, that prepared that sack lunch for that boy. And, you know, sometimes even, I mean, women hardly, you know, get any credit. In some cases, I'll mention the name of the woman, you know, among the, in the genealogy, but most of the time, according to Jewish culture, they're nowhere to be found. You know, it's just, but sometimes they'll put the name of the woman there just to, you know, differentiate. You know, but most of the time, the credit just went to the man. And on and on and on. And women didn't get any inheritance in those days. Of course, the Lord made a separation at one time, I mean, a difference at one time. But most of the time, you know, and even if they were, you know, a firstborn, they didn't quite get, you know, the benefit of the birthright, like, you know, like the sons, you know, because the inheritance went to the sons and stuff like that. The reason being in their culture, the woman would go away, marry someone else. And so it was really the son that would carry on, you know, the family, you know, tradition, the family name and culture and so forth. And so, you know, it's just all through women have, you know, had to put up with so many things. But I guarantee you that the Lord loves the women. Praise the Lord, you know. And, you know, in fact, there was one time in the book of John chapter 8 that they brought a woman out of adultery, you know, they caught in the midst of adultery. You know, of course, well, you know, they didn't bring the man, it was just the woman. Or it could be that the man, you know, might have been a single man, that this married woman was messing with. We don't know the reason. But, you know, Jesus set her free without condemning her. And then, of course, you know, one of the women, one woman called Mary, Jesus cast out multiple devils out of her, straight now straight. And she became an incredible, incredible witness, you know, of the resurrection. And, you know, some of the most important stories in that Bible, the first persons to see Christ, you know, after his resurrection. It's a woman, a despised woman, even at that. And, you know, Jesus, you know, blowing away many of those things, you know, that had been in the culture. And even those women that believed and they saw him and they came and told the men did not believe that Christ had risen, you know, from the dead. But Jesus chose a woman and Jesus chose someone also who was despised and rejected, you know, devils and so forth like that. Of course, you know, as long as the Lord delivers you and turns your life around, he's not dealing with you anymore in that past. You know, but people are still looking at that. Till today, people still think of, oh, Mary Magdalene, oh, Mary, you know, seven devils, or this and that, and what have you. But Jesus wasn't thinking about any of that, you know. And all through the scriptures, these women are called joint heirs with Christ. We talked about that before. And even in the book of Acts chapter 1, you know, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and some of his brethren, they were there. In verse 14 and, you know, on, waiting for the Holy Spirit, just like, you know, others. And even at the time of his crucifixion, the women followed him closely. Some of the men stood afar off, but the women, they followed him closely. And then we read this story of the virtuous woman, of course. You can't say a lesson like this without giving tribute to the virtuous woman. You know, so in Proverbs 31, we read the story of the virtuous woman, which is known by most people of all the good things that she does. And she has you know, she has so many attributes. Get up early, take care of her family, put her hands to work, you know, consider a field and buys it. I mean, she just does so many things, and she's a hardworking, looking after, you know, her family and doing all of this. And the scripture calls her, you know, something special. Say, well, can you even find someone like that? You know, her price is higher than rubies and stuff like that. Who can find a virtuous woman? He says, for her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil. You know, let's see what the precious and the virtuous woman does. Good to her husband, not evil. All the days of her life, she seeketh wool and flax and walketh willingly with her hands. She's like the merchant's ship, bringeth her food from afar. She rises also while it is yet night. Give me to her household. She would get up early in the morning, cook and cook and cook. You know, even this day, we see that happening. You know, and, you know, I see it in my family, my wife all the time. You know, she'll get up early in the morning, cook and cook and cook. You know, and then, you know, put some of that away in the fridge, in the freezer and so forth. I mean, they do all these things, you know, and I know many families, they're like that. She, you know, give a portion to her maidens, consider a field, buys it, you know, with the fruit of her hands, plant a vineyard. She guarded her loins with strength, strengthened her arms. You know, she looked at her merchandise. I mean, all these things, she spindles, she can sew, she can do this. She's an encouragement even, you know, she's a crown. You know, the Bible calls her a crown to her husband. You know, she's an encouragement to him. And all the things that she does, and her household are clothed. And when, you know, when people see her, you know, she's a woman of honor. Even her husband is known because of her good works. You know, and strength, her honor, her clothing, and on and on and on. You know. But then her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also. So that's what we're doing here today. You know, let all the children rise up and bless their mothers. And let the men also rise up and bless their wives. You know, and that's what we're doing today. And especially when she's someone that fears the Lord, it's called a heart of gold. That's what I call it. I said, you know, here's my own. I say, woman that feareth the Lord has a heart of gold. That's my summary of it, you know. And these women, God bless their hearts. So I want to pray over women today. I'm praying for single women. I have to put up with a lot of things. Some are single because of divorce. Some are single because they've lost their husband, single, whatever. Yeah, but they still have children to care for. I'm talking about the single mothers. It's a lot. You know, it's hard enough when you have two trying to raise these children, let alone when you have one and it's a woman, and it's just a lot. And then sometimes they have to work. You know, and do all of that. And they don't have a choice when the man is gone. They got to work. You know, I mean, people put up with all kinds of things. The woman that came to the prophet and said, look, my husband has feared the Lord, is gone. You know, and they're about to take my sons. You know, the people, you know, they come to take my sons because we couldn't pay the mortgage, or we couldn't pay the loan, or this and that. I mean, these are things, some of the things that the women have to put up with, and their heart is in their mouth all the time. You know, what's going to happen? You know, especially when, you know, if the man was the breadwinner and he's gone now, that's the woman that came and cried to Elisha, you know, and so forth. The prophet said, well, what do you have in the house? She said, nothing. You know, we clean the house out except for this little pot of oil. That's all I got left. And of course, the grace and mercy of the Lord, you know, gave her a word that changed that situation, you know, and so forth, you know. But these are some of the things that they, you know, they have to put up with. And I've watched even in nature, you know, I love to watch those, you know, Earth series or National Geographic or whatever. And you'll see how the mother animal, you know, protects the little one. I mean, even when they have to migrate, when they have to cross those rivers, I mean, all the things that they do, I just wonder. I'm like, oh my goodness. I mean, how in the world, I mean, these instincts are just there, you know, and the woman that feareth the Lord, she loves her children, she honors her husband, she will do everything to protect them and so forth. And the thing that makes, you know, a mother special is, you know, her childbearing. So we're going to pray for mothers to be as well, you know, because, you know, that's what makes a woman a mother. She bears a child. And Jesus himself talked about it, that look, you know, during the childbearing months and when she's pregnant and when it comes close to that point, she has sorrow. And women have to go put up with that as well. They have sorrow about the time that the child's going to, you know, birth pains, you know, that they have to go through. You know, and I've seen it up close, you know, that the pains that women go through when they, about the time to give birth. You know, sometimes hard labor. There's women that had hard labor in the Bible and died when the child was about to be born. We've seen hard labor in our days, you know, medical science, we try to help with epidural. It makes the mother even worse because then they lose all sensitivity in the nerves and they can't push. And it's just there and there. I mean, they just go through all of these things. And, you know, I've often said that, look, the things that women have to go through, but Jesus said it, a woman has sorrow when she's having a child. But as soon as the child is born, she forgets. Because of the joy that, you know, a man child is born to the world. I don't even know how they forget, because the men never forget. But some men run away. I guarantee you, some men run away when they see their, you know, their wife in that labor ward. They can't handle it. You know, they'll find one excuse or the other, and they'll run away, you know, and if it was men that had to have those children, I've often said, you know, I think at most, each family will have one child. Unless they had twins, it would be only one childbirth. Because men would not put up with that, you know, again, after you went through it one time. So, I mean, these women, I don't know how they do it. You think they're done, and then the next thing they know, they want another. And then they want another. And then they want another. And Jesus said the same thing. They forget, you know, because of the incredible love that they have just to see their own child in their arms. They forget all that pain. You know, they go through anything. They stay up night, do all these things and so forth. They do anything for that child. So we're honoring all the women today. You know, but this, our lovely women, they're in different phases of life. And so we're going to take prayer for them today. I'm going to call out a blessing for every woman that's here. You know, if you're a mother of children, praise God. If you're a mother to be, well, praise God. Because today is a blessed day. You know, and God's dishing out blessings in this room today. Well, take yours. You know, one time, you know, I said, you know, I see some packages falling, you know, grab yours and open it. You know, take yours on here today. So first I want to pray for the women that are struggling. And, you know, and there are some women also that are in abusive relationships. You know, and if their lives are in danger, you know, they need to protect themselves. You know, saying, you know, because we don't want you to stay in there until you're killed and then you're dead. And then what? You know, and let nobody misinterpret my sayings here. I'm not advocating that any woman should leave their husband. I've never said that. But when your life is in danger, you're about to be killed, you'd be foolish for you to stay there. You know, but there are situations when it's just a matter of stuff, you know, and your life is not at danger. You need to walk it out. You know, stuff can always be walked out. But women are facing all kinds of things. Even in the society at large, you know, women are just not treated the same. In many cultures, women have the same. I know in the United States it's changing now in commerce, but even in sports, it's still, they're still treated less. You know, sports, a basketball guy and the men's, they may make millions and they pay the women chump change and so forth. It's changing in commerce. I mean, we've got the company where I work. CEO is a young girl. And when I see that, I say, wow, that's great. She's about the age of one of my daughters. And, you know, got many, you know, cause, you know, that's an advanced company that doesn't really, you know, care about that or that negative stuff. And they promote the women who are deserving of it. And that's the way it should be. If women are deserving, it should be promoted, you know, but in some places, you know, that's not the way it is. You know, these are all the things that women have to deal with, and let alone the things they deal with, even in, you know, in the church and the Christian circles. We've already dealt with that in this room. You know, they're put down, and, you know, people won't even let, in some circles, it's not everywhere, there are some ministries that recognize women and let them flourish. But others put them down, say they can't do this, can't do that, and so on. You know, and we've covered that some months ago. So today, our prayers go out to women in all categories. First, I want to pray for the single mothers that have lost either their husband or single for whatever reason. You know, maybe by divorce or whatever, and they're stuck with the children. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for strength and grace over these women that have to do double duty and sometimes even triple duty. You know, be the mother, be the father, be the provider, all at once. Lord, I pray for them in Jesus' name. Let your grace be made sufficient for them and be perfect for them, Lord, and strengthen them. Let them not be discouraged, especially those that trust in the Lord. In the household of faith, you know, among believers, the women, and there's some right here on this platform, single mothers that we have here. I pray for every one of you in the name of the Lord Jesus. The Lord, the glory of God will be upon you. Be a crown of glory to you and strengthen you. And we ask and pray that the Holy Spirit will be there with you, that you be not discouraged and you hang in there and the Lord will strengthen you. The Lord knows what you're going through. The Lord knows every situation. He knows how, you know, your situation. And, you know, some may be thinking, well, you know, I can't do this. You know, even when my husband was alive, was tough enough, and now he's gone. I can't do this. Yes, you can. And the Lord, you know, he is your grace. You know, you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. You know, if need be, the Holy Spirit will give you, you know, double the grace if you need be. And yes, sometimes it's hard. And we others, you know, need to continue to lift them up. It's a hard, hard place to be. You know, when you have to be a single mother and raise children in this age that we are in now, how hard things are even to raise a child. So Lord, I pray for them that you will strengthen their hands, confirm the feeble knees, and cause their heads to be lifted. Give grace into their hearts and so forth in the name of Jesus. And I pray that these women, you know, sometimes they may be under stress. I pray that the Lord will help the women control their tongues and never say any evil to those children, no matter how much they stress you out. You know, love them and, you know, bless them only. Never say any negative word that the devil may latch onto. Lord, so we thank you for these women in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Strengthen them, O God, and meet them, you know, the place where they're hurting. Maybe they're hurting through finances. Maybe they're hurting through just, you know, with disciplining the children or with teaching them and so forth. And women play a great role in teaching those children. I pray that the Lord will give them grace in Jesus' name. Amen. And all the things, and may none of our women here, the single mothers, never suffer any loss over their children. In fact, no woman suffer any loss over their children in Jesus' name. The Lord will give you the grace, the wisdom, and the understanding of how to protect these children. And the Lord himself will protect them for you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, I want to pray for women that are in abusive or troubled relationships. I pray for the grace of God to help them. You know, those who are in physical abuse situations, you know, they need to get out of that situation for a while, at least, you know, to preserve their lives, you know, so that they will not be beaten to death or killed. But that should not be in the household of faith. I don't believe that, you know, if that's happening, I don't think that's a Christian home to start with. So, you know, if that's happening, that's not a Christian home. No man should ever raise his hand to strike his wife. You know, and sometimes there are abusive words and situations as well. It's not only women that are, you know, targets of mental abuse. Sometimes men are. And, you know, we pray for families that are troubled. But because we're honoring women today, that's why we're praying specifically for the women. It's not only women that go through this. We have single fathers as well. We pray for these women to give them the grace. And let not the woman depart from her husband, saith the scriptures. You know, stay right there unless your life is at risk. You know, all other things can be worked out. You know, so I pray for grace. I pray for strength. And let not the man put away his wife either. You know, the women that don't feel loved, they're in there, but they feel, I'm not loved. I don't just feel the Lord. Well, remember, thy maker is thy husband, saith the Lord. That's right. Yeah. The Lord is your husband first and foremost. And no man can, you know, satisfy and fill the longings of your heart, you know, like the Lord. And sometimes, you know, women have too much dependency upon their husband for everything. It's a big burden on the men too sometimes. But that's part of the curse, and that should be removed. Because he said, well, you know, there's the curse. It was like, look, you know, your desire shall be to your husband, and he shall rule over thee, you know, all that stuff. You know, but today women are joint heirs with Christ. Praise the Lord. I pray that grace will be in the families. You know, and say, let the young women love their husbands. It's a commandment. You know, be keepers at home and be chaste and love their children, raise their children in the name of Jesus. Lord, strengthen all the women. And every virtuous woman deserves a shepherding husband. All the women that are doing the best they can, all that they can for their husband and their families, help them, O Lord, to find solace in you if situation is not right. And we pray for the men. You know, we don't want our women to be married to any sons of Belial. You know, all the stubbornness and stuff like that may be in the hearts of some of the men. Come against those demonic spirits in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let the hearts of the men be tender towards their wives. Because the Bible says, be not bitter against your wives. And all that root of bitterness. And sometimes the root of bitterness is in the woman too. The gall of bitterness. Come against it in the families in the name of Jesus. Let it be broken. Hallelujah. Let there be love shed abroad in the hearts of the people. In Jesus' name. Amen. Sometimes some people are just so hard. You know, they just make themselves so hard and so seemingly unlovable. But the Lord commands us to love one another. Praise God. Give grace and strength, Lord, to our women in the name of Jesus. And sometimes some women find themselves in situations where, you know, they're married to an unbeliever. No woman, Christian woman, in her right mind, open her eyes and go marry an unbeliever. But might have been married before they gave their life to Christ. And if the man be pleased to dwell with you, then let her not depart from him. How do you know? Perhaps you might save your husband. And even if he's a son of Belial and won't listen to anything, you can also win him, you know, even without too much preaching, by your manner of life, your conversation, your chaste conversation. There's an attitude and way of life, and how you conduct yourself, and how you still love and respect him anyway. And God can turn situation around. And I pray the blessing of the Lord over bitter waters. Hallelujah. The Lord is the one that can take bitter waters and make those things sweet again. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, I pray for women who may be married, but not yet mothers. Because, well, the Bible says that the fruit of the womb is his reward. Hallelujah. Now, Lord, reward those who are trusting and believing you and loving the Lord with all their heart. Reward them with the fruit of the womb in Jesus' name. The circumstances which we don't know why sometimes, but it is what it is. But the end of the story is that the Lord is good and his mercy endureth forever. And he always comes through for us in Jesus' name. Now, let us hear the voice of the mother and the voice of the children that the Lord will give her. She wrap her children, you know, in her arms and give them suck in Jesus' name. For every woman that is needing children and their marriage and their husband's homes, a blessing of the Lord come on them in Jesus. As we celebrate them today, along with mothers, we celebrate the mothers in waiting and the mothers to be as well. We also pray for pregnant women, pregnant believers who are in their right places, pregnant by their own husbands, that they, as they're going to bring forth these children, glory to God, grace and strength be with them. Bible said they shall be saved in childbearing if the two of them continue in holiness and sobriety and so forth. So Lord, you know, give them grace to go through those difficult pregnancy months in the name of the Lord Jesus. Birth pains at hand, but the joy coming. And we thank you, Lord, for the lessons that we learn even through that. The struggles of life and so forth have to happen sometimes for some incredible great thing comes out of it. And thank you, Lord, for the mothers that you have chosen to bear those examples through pregnancy and so on. We pray for those who are newlyweds or young in their marriage and have to deal with raising children in childbearing and raising the years where they have to raise their children and so forth. I pray for them in Jesus. Some of them might even have to do all of that and still go to school and go to work. We have some right here on this platform. I pray for grace in the name of Jesus. And I pray for understanding for the men to rise up and support and strengthen their women. You know, don't wait until your woman caves in. Get in there and support her. Be kind and gracious and support. And lift up those heavy burdens from her in Jesus' name. I pray for men also that you will give the men, Lord, the wisdom to dwell with their wives according to knowledge, to help their wives, to love them and to cherish them, and to be kind and to be gracious to them, so that these women will feel loved. Hallelujah. That the woman in every home, I pray for women who are in marriages, that they'll feel loved, that they'll be able to say, my husband is my shepherd and I shall not want. They'll be able to say of their husband, he maketh me to lie down. In green pastures, in the name of Jesus. That they'll be able to say of their husband that he's their spiritual leader. Hallelujah. Make me to lie down in green pastures. Lead me beside the still waters. be able to say of their husband that he restores my soul when I'm in distress in the name of Jesus. I pray that women will, you know, have this sense of leadership coming out of their spiritual husbands. Be able to say that he leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his own name's sake. I've taken his name and let him lead me. Hallelujah. We pray that men will stand up to the roles and repair the altar, the broken down altars, and take on the mantle of spiritual leadership in the name of Jesus. I pray that women will be able to say in the safety of their husband, you know, the comfort, the strength they derive from just he being with them and so forth, say, you know, I know that no matter what I do, go through, I will not fear. Even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, because my husband is be right there with me. You know, no matter what I'm going through, he'll be right there with me. And I'm coming out of it, and I will fear no evil. Be able to say of their husband that he's always comforting me. Also, may every woman be able to say of their husband that he's a man that will prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Anoint my head with oil. I don't have to stretch my neck or head. You know, he takes care of me. Hallelujah. Now, Lord, we pray that this man will step up to these roles in Jesus' name. And may the woman also, you know, cherish her home. Let the woman be able to say of her home, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all my days, and I will dwell in the house of my husband forever. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray these things over women today, and the men likewise. A woman cannot be a mother without a man. Praise God. I pray for the men who are fathers, who have made these women mothers, that they will step up to their responsibilities. Hallelujah. Praise God. And if a man, the scripture says, you know, if a man takes not care of his household, you know, especially those that be of the household of faith, that he's worse than an infidel. First Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8. But if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, that deny the faith and is worse than an infidel, and give our men, Lord, the grace and the strength to be the provider. And for those men who in their hearts are trying their best to provide, you know, we pray that the women will appreciate their efforts, and that together there'll be a formidable team against the devil in the name of Jesus. A house that's divided against itself cannot stand. You know, may the mind, this mind be in the men and in the women in the home, the man and his wife, the woman and her husband, that they be united and not divided in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, you know, for men that feel that they are stuck. They're struggling, but they're not amounting to much. It seems like, you know, they get this close and then they miss it all the time. And they say, well, I really can't, you know, provide enough and so forth. It seems like there's something. I mean, a rot here. It seems like something going on. Well, we break that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, because Adam was blessed of the Lord. And God said, be fruitful, multiply, subdue. And until the curse came, but Jesus also, he removed the curse. And I pray, Lord, that the men will feel blessed, that they will not feel down on themselves that, look, we can't do this, I can't do that. And give them the grace and the strength to be able to be the provider, the spiritual leader, the husband, the Psalm 23 kind of man that they need to be for their woman in the name of the Lord Jesus. Today, as we honor our women, Lord, and every woman in every situation, some of them are business entrepreneurs. They got their own businesses and they're struggling with it. And, you know, it seems like, you know, things are just hard, especially if they're single and they have to do it alone. Now, Lord, I pray the blessing of God, Jesus, take it out of their hands, blow their minds completely and so forth. And let them have this confidence, absolute dependence upon you, to know that the Lord, he will do it. He said, remember, it is the Lord that teacheth you how to profit. Hallelujah. And the Lord, he is he that doth go before you. Deuteronomy 31 and 8. He will not fail you. He will never forsake you either. He will always be there. And again, Remember, it's he, the one that gives you power to get well. Deuteronomy 8 and 18. Everybody in this room, men and women together. Hallelujah. Now, some of the greatest challenges that young families have that cause conflict and problems is finances. And women are sometimes, you know, the target of, you know, that problem too sometimes. I pray the grace of God to break, you know, that vicious cycle of people struggling and earning money and seem like they're putting it into a bag of holes. You will not earn money to put in a bag of holes. The Lord said in the book of, you know, Isaiah chapter 62, begin to say to us that, look, I have sworn by myself that I will not allow your enemies to eat up your meat, I mean your corn again, for the which you have labored. But you have labored for it, you also will eat it. Praise the Lord. Our men, as they labor to support their women and so forth, and the women also sometimes labor to support their husbands, both ways. I pray that the Lord, according to his word in Isaiah 62 and 8, that the word of the Lord which he has spoken will come upon the families, and the enemy will not be able to eat up your corn. The sons of the stranger will not be able to drink thy wine. You will not be borrowers. You know, a lot of people that are burdened under, you know, too heavy to bear. You know, burdens too heavy to bear. Mortgages they can't pay. Rents they can't pay. And all of these things. I pray the grace of God will lift up your head in the name of Jesus. And today, as the children celebrate their mothers, hallelujah. And as we celebrate all the mothers and the mothers to be, let there be joy in the families. And today we want to pray for those who are going through any sadness. We want to pray against depression. Some have lost their mothers. And on a day such as this, on Mother's Day, the enemy will try to bring that depression and so forth, because they've lost their mother and they can't, you know, the mother can't be there and so forth like that. I come against that spirit of heaviness and depression in the name of Jesus. Losing that from them, oh God, in Jesus' name. Let his sweet memories, you know, comfort their hearts. You know, praise the Lord. And those of you who have mothers who are believers, you are so, so blessed. And if your mother was an unbeliever for a long time, but they gave their life to Christ before they died, you are so, so blessed. And that's what you should remember. Ha, praise God. Some of us have aging mothers as well that are getting older. You know, we ourselves, you yourself, you're a mother, but you still have an aging mother. I pray for those aging mothers in the name. We have some people right here on this platform. They themselves are mothers, and yet they have aging mothers. And I pray for the aging mothers that, Lord, you will strengthen them in the name of Jesus. And so, you know, some of our aging mothers have to travel. One of our sisters, her mother, will be traveling back to Nigeria the next couple of days. You know, I pray for the woman, for Sister Julia's mother, in the name of the Lord Jesus, and all the things that the prayers that she brought, the prayer requests that she brought before, that we prayed, and she has to go back and take care and see to all that legal tussle, the government trying to tear down their place and do all these things or whatever, or take over and build power lines over their house and so on. I pray that wisdom, grace, and strength will be upon her as she goes, and that the angel of the Lord and the eternal God be her refuge, and underneath be the everlasting arms. We have grandmothers as well. You know, some people still even have grandmothers. I pray for your grandmothers. Some people have, you know, godmothers, you know, everybody that's been a mother figure in your life. Sometimes it's an older sister, an aunt, or whoever that come into that role, and they've been such a blessing in your lives. They may not be, you know, your real biological mother. Sometimes it's a stepmother. Sometimes it's an adopted mother. Sometimes it's a, you know, whomsoever. But they've stepped into that role, and they've stood in the gap. And today we honor them in the name of Jesus Christ. And let the blessing of the mother be with them as well. And those mothers who have worked tirelessly and selflessly, take care. And some women are even in situations where they have to take care of their husband's children that are not theirs. Have they done it faithfully? I pray for them in a blended families and so forth. That Lord, the grace and goodness of God. Remember, whatsoever you do, do it as unto the Lord, and the Lord will bless your heart. Praise God. So Lord, you've seen and heard all our prayers today concerning our women. And today I just want to bless the women. We throw out blessings on every side. Let the women catch it in the name of the Lord. Blessings from heaven. Yeah, hallelujah. And let the women remember the paps that they sucked from. Hallelujah. Praise God. But above all, the woman that feared the Lord, that has taught their children the word of the Lord. My goodness. So the proverb, Lemuel, his mother, taught him. Even this thing we read all the time in Proverbs 31. It was the mother of Lemuel that taught him these things. Praise God. I pray that the women that stood in the gap and taught the children the word of the Lord, that you continue to strengthen them. Even in this society that we face all these things today, strengthen the women as a backbone of the families to do the right thing in Jesus' name. And cause the men the love to be in their hearts towards their wives. And let everybody's eyes be single. Single. Let your eye be single. Bible says if your eye is single, it's great. But if your eye has darkness in it, great is the darkness of that whole body. Let the eyes of the men and women be single upon their spouses in Jesus' name. And let together, husband and wife, walk together as an undivided house. And not allow the devil any chance in Jesus' name. For marriages that may be on the rocks, even today, we pray for solution. Hallelujah. And we ask and pray that people will look for help, before everything gets turned upside down. And the Lord have mercy and grace in Jesus' name. Let there be the grace and the spirit of forgiveness and kindness in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now, unto him that is able to sustain all our mothers and all our women and to bless them with, an everlasting blessing. And to the Lord that is able to put women, the babies in the hands of the mothers to be. Hallelujah. Unto the Lord that is able to sustain all of your children, wherever they are. Now, unto him be praise and glory. And remember, those of you who may have children or even grandchildren that are wayward and whatever, the Lord also says, that he'll bring them back. It's special promises. The Lord will watch over them. He'll bring them back even from the land of the enemy. No matter what, you're going through, have faith in God. Trust in the Lord. He'll bring them back in the name of Jesus. I pray that we will not be, there will not be lamentation. There will not be bitter weeping. We will not hear Rahel weeping for her children. We will not hear, lamentation in Ramah. We will not hear any of these things. But the Lord said, thus saith the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping and thine eyes from tears to all the women that are weeping over their children or their grandchildren that are wayward. According to Jeremiah 31 and 16 and 17, it says, saith the Lord, he said, they will come again from the land of the enemy. That's a promise, point blank. And, there's hope in thy end, saith the Lord, that thy children shall come again to their own body. I pray for all the women to know that the Lord has said that, the Lord will protect your children, will contend with them that contend with them. That I pray that the women will realize that they and their children and God has given them for signs and wonders. The glory of the Lord will protect and deliver the children out of so even the lawful captive, be delivered. Hallelujah. Sometimes these children have sold themselves or not. God will bring them out in Jesus' name. The prey will be delivered out of the mouth of, the hunter and so forth. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We give you all the praise and give you all the glory. Let this day be a great day in the lives of all of our children across this great country of the United States. All of our women across this great country of the United States. And then all the families that will celebrate in different gatherings today, they will celebrate at places of worship. They will celebrate. And we celebrate our mothers. We celebrate them also on this platform. God bless all the women in the name of Jesus. And God bless the men also that have made these women to be mothers. God bless the children. God bless all the families a blessing of God. Hallelujah. Be with all of the children. A blessing of the breast. The Bible says also, from the mother be upon the children. The children rise up and bless their mother. The husband bless their wife. The wife bless the husband. Let there be joy, stability, and presence of goodness in our homes. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.